Okay, and while it's true that this coming Shabbos is going to be Erev Pesach Shechaleos B'Shabbos, we cannot lose out and forget the opportunity that the Shabbos presents just all by itself with the reading of Parshat Tzav. Parshat Tzav, of course, begins with the instructions. Tzav es Aharon v'espanav limor zos Torah ha'ola. This is the story of the Ola al Mokdah on the pyre. Rav David Feinstein, Zeichet Tzadik v'Kadosh Levracha, noted that the term utilized here, al Mokdah, specifically reminds us that the main point of the fire is to burn the Ola, and the main job of the Ola is to be burned. And thus, noted Rav David, we see the difference between the Ola and other Karbanos. All the other Karbanos are burned, but the burning is only the part of their function. In the case of the Ola, the fact that it's burned completely is precisely how it conveys the message to the one seeking atonement. Sometimes we have to totally be mevatel ourselves to the Ribono Shel Olam, and this is the first thought in regard to the Karban Ola. We're told that the Kohen who is involved in the process has to take out the deshen. He has to remove the ash. Now, why was this such an important job in the Beis HaMikdash? In fact, it was so desired, the Gemara in Yuma tells us, that people would literally kill for the chance to do it. Why? Why was that so important? So my Rebbe, the Mashgiach, Rav Yosef Blau Shalita, explained that without getting involved in the dirty work, he can't play a role in Kedusha. Sometimes part of Kedusha is the Hasaras Halichluch, is the removal of the dirt. And that too is part of the process. The Torah goes on to describe all sorts of aspects of the Karban Mincha. Well, when it comes to a Karban Mincha of a Kohen, Kalil Tiyah, it should be totally burned. The Mincha of the Kohen was not consumed by his fellow Kohanim. How could they take his portion? Samori Virabi Roshachta Shalita would point out that the Mishnah in Kishkalim says that the Kohanim added to this idea on their own, that they didn't need to bring a Chatzi Shekel either, since they'd burned the Kemitza and eat the Shiari HaMincha. And based on our Pasuk, if they have a share in the Karban, they're not able to eat from it, so why should they contribute to the Karbanos Tzibor as well? So the Mishnah added that the Tanaim fought with the Kohanim on that, and why was that? So Rosh Hashanah quoted Mefarshim, who explained that only an individual's karban is subjected to the rule in this pasuk of Minchas Kohen Kalil Tiyah. But a karban of Klal Yisrael isn't a karban b'shutfas. It's not about being partners altogether. Quite the opposite. It's a karban tzibor. Tzibor is its own entity, and so hence it can't be eaten by the Kohanim. So Rav Shechter added that apparently those Kohanim who are described in the Mishnah didn't accept that there's an institution of Klal Yisrael. They noticed only the partnership aspect. Rav Shechter said, that's not right. That's not the way we think. We do have an idea of a Karban Tzibor, and we have to be aware of that Karban Tzibor. We're told, Imal Toda Yakrivenu, if he offers it as a Karban Toda. So Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky Zatzal noted that today's holding place for the Karban Toda of old is the recitation of Hagomel, which expresses gratitude. In fact, we often have a difficulty offering gratitude since it implies a certain dependence, which makes us, well, uncomfortable. Rabbi Twersky suggested that this assertion is actually a protection of one's fragile ego. The opposite would be esteem in not holding on to what I should be able to do based on a lost past, but rather on what I'm going to do based on the present into the future. And this, suggests Rabbi Twersky, is exactly what happens at the time of Hagomel. The person notes that he's thankful to Hashem for showing him kindness, even if he was undeserving. And the people respond that the kindness should not be stopped, that the one offering the bracha should have many more opportunities to recognize the chesed for the future. Hagomel chayevim tovos, shegem olani kol tov. We're told, pigul yiyeh. What's this whole pigul? What's pigul? What's going on with the whole pigul story? And so in order for us to understand that, Rivlin Shalita explained that pigul is a reminder that not only are one's speech and actions important, but there's also value to a person's intent. Despite being not apparent to the outside world of a person, intent doesn't leave any apparent mark, but it has a strong effect to the point that it can even create an Iser Kares. It can also have a very strong effect create a challenge. And so therefore the Torah teaches us about the rules of pigul in the process. Now, we're also told Zeh HaDavar, that there's a concept called, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to understand. And Rashi notes that Moshe Rabbeinu told the people that whatever they saw him doing, he was commanded to do, and he had a responsibility to do. Rabbi Yaakov Bender, Shalita, the famous Rosh HaYeshiva of Derech Yitzhak, explains that Moshe was removing any doubt from the minds of the people that he was making up any of the rules and showing nepotism. But when it came to Zahadava, to the word of Hashem, there was no room for compromise, and that the word needed to be followed without compromise. That's an idea that a person needs to carry with him. By a creed, Moshe, as Aaron Vesbana, Moshe brought his sons and his brother close, Aaron and Aaron's children, and we can easily see that Moshe dressed Aaron and his sons in the Big Day Kahuna. And we even easily see, because the Pasuk goes very far to explain all the details, except the pants. What happened to the pants? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal in Parshas Tetzaveh makes the point of taking notice to the fact that consistently in the Torah there's a Lashon Nekiyah, there's a Lashon of Tznius, and that the Torah doesn't mention dressing in pants because it's not a fine language that we use. And so it's not a Dabra Aser, there's no prohibition in talking about these things. Nevertheless, the Torah is teaching us that from the fineness of the language of the way that a person talks, a person would understand on his own to avoid this type of discussion. And here too, the parents aren't mentioned in order to keep the image in our minds. When we watch and associate the Mishkan, we don't need to go ahead and highlight the fact that that Moshe gave Aaron the pants, gave the children the pants, to have them dress themselves. We're also told by Yishchat, and when Moshe Rabbeinu gets involved in the Shechita, there's a Shalshalas. What a crazy idea. And the trap on this word is a Shalshalas, which usually implies some sort of delay. Now, why would Moshe need a delay? What uncertainty did Moshe Rabbeinu experience? Or Shimon Schwab Zatzal explains that while we have no uncertainty, and we do not waver with regard to the commands of Hashem, the Tzibuye Hashem, we do savor the spiritual moment that we create by following Hashem's command. During the 7 days of Miluim, prior to Aaron's investiture as Kohen Gadol, it was Moshe who served in that capacity. He was the Kohen Gadol for a week. His very last action as Kohen Gadol was the slaughtering of this Ayil, after which all the responsibilities of the Mishkan were going to be given over to Aaron and his sons. And so the Shalshalas on the word Vayishchat demonstrates that Moshe held on as long as he could to tarry a little bit longer to savor the mitzvah, to relish the final moments of acting as a Kohen. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read one of the final notes, that the very last Navi of the past, Malachi, offered. And what did he say? Hine anochi sholeach lachem es Eliyahu ha-Navi. I'm sending you Eliyahu ha-Navi lifnei bo yom Hashem ha-Gadol va-Anora. And Rabbi Avraham Yaffin noted that the Pasuk is a reminder of Moshe Rabbeinu's announcement to Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim that they would be redeemed. The connection teaches us that in the month of redemption, we not only must remind ourselves anew of the Yitzias Mitzrayim, we also have to prepare ourselves for future Geula as well. The Haftorah speaks of a general malaise in the Jewish people's service of Hashem, where it appears that dishonesty pays, where successful people take advantage of the widows and the orphans without any consequence to themselves. It's a world that advances in all areas of science, leading to deny the existence of higher values. In such an age, says the Navi Malachi, one might think that the quality of our mitzvos doesn't matter. As long as we're going through the motions of doing the mitzvos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pleased. But, says Rabbi Avraham Yaffin, each additional effort that's put into a mitzvah does get noticed by Hashem, and it makes a difference. Hashem values every single good deed, even a single good word, and on the other hand, the depth of Hashem's judgment for laxity is great. It makes a difference. Details make a difference. Hine anochi sholeach lochem. May we get that opportunity to experience the Geula very soon, speedily in our day. Shabbat shalom to all, and a chag kosher v'sameach.